If the Giants make the wild card game and absolutely have to win that game, who starts? Is it Logan Webb, Kevin Gausman, or someone else? We talk about that question and many more on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me on Sunday toward the end of the game to get in on the action. And coming up on today's show, we are going to be doing a mailbag. If you're looking for reaction to yesterday's huge win against the Brewers, we had a podcast that came out around 5 p.m. on Thursday reacting to that game. So look out for that. Also, just to let you know, if you're listening on, you know, a typical podcast channel, whether that be Apple or Spotify or whatever, just to let you know, we are also on YouTube. So please be sure to check out the show on YouTube. And thank you to everyone who is checking us out on YouTube. It's nice to see you. So anyway, jumping into the mailbag questions, Richard asks, are we pretty certain at this point that Logan Webb would be the wild card game starter if we ended up in the wild card slot? Now, there's a number of kind of different takes or reactions I have to this question. Number one is that, you know, the Giants are going to put, if they have a choice, the starter they believe gives them the best chance to win that game. I don't think they're going to consider things like the fact that Logan Webb is young and they want to give that start to someone who's more experienced. If the wild card game was tomorrow and Logan Webb was rested, I think there's pretty much no question that he is the guy they would put into that situation, probably with Kevin Gausman ready behind him. If Logan Webb were to struggle at all, they would bring in Kevin Gausman. That would be my thought. I don't think they would be conservative and hold back any pitchers for a potential game one matchup in the NLDS, because you got to make it there first. And that's kind of a mistake managers of old have made, you know, like famously Buck Showalter holding on to Zach Britton when he was having that historic season, kept saving him in the wild card game when the game continued to be on the line. And he saved him for a potential save situation that never came. So this Giants team, Gabe Kapler, is not going to do that type of managing, conservative managing. They're going to be extremely aggressive. And so, yes, I do think it would be Logan Webb at this point in time. It is a big question, though, because Kevin Gausman, I mean, has a track record of being really good with the San Francisco Giants. So, you know, the last month of the season is going to say a lot about this. I mean, Webb's going to have a lot more starts. It remains to be seen if he can just continue this stretch that he's on. Normally, pitchers go through rough patches to some extent, but that hasn't happened for Webb over his last 14 starts, which, by the way, those 14 straight starts, two earned runs or fewer, is a franchise record dating all the way back to 1901. I guess maybe that's when they started paying attention to this kind of thing. But incredible what Logan Webb is doing. But it'll also depend on if the Giants, you know, if they're still in the division race in that final weekend against the Padres. I do believe they finished. Yeah, against the Padres, they may, you know, use Webb in a game trying to clinch the division. It just kind of depends on how the pitching matchups go. But if they're still in the race, they're going to continue to try to win that division even towards the end of the season. And so that could affect who's available in that wild card game. So all of that to say, like, it probably would be Webb, but it really depends on a lot of different factors. Anyway, the next question comes from Aaron, who asks, what would the Giants need to do to give Darren Ruff more at-bats? Would they have to move Wade to center and take away at bats from Yaz, even against righties, or take away at bats from Dickerson, who has low key been decent at the plate for about a month? This is a major consideration because Darren Ruff is playing just about as well as anybody on the Giants, particularly, I mean, offensively. And he's just a real threat and someone who I think in this last month of the season, they're going to probably try to find a way to get him more playing time, basically filling in for whoever's struggling. Like you're saying, you kind of, how do you figure out how to do that? And I do think, though, the reason that we're not seeing this, and people have asked a similar question about Austin Slater, is that if these guys are on the roster, like if Dickerson and Yastrzemski and Wade are on the roster, they have a role. And if you're not going to play them in that role, it doesn't even make sense to have them on your roster. Like when people talk about Slater, if he's not starting against left-handed pitching, then it's a mistake that you even have him on your roster in the first place. Plus, he has a track record of success against left-handed pitching, so it makes sense that you're playing him. But for Darren Ruff, I mean, yeah, the most obvious thing would be to take away playing time from probably Alex Dickerson. I'm not sure. I don't think they're going to take away at-bats from Yastrzemski against right-handed pitching. But certainly, whenever there's a lefty on the mound, I think Darren Ruff is going to find his way into the lineup, whether it's filling in. I mean, Austin Slater plays, I think, currently, Slater's kind of playing for Wade and Ruff is playing for Dickerson. And then you've got another spot with Yastrzemski there. So I'm not sure how they do it. I honestly don't see a clear path to doing it. If, you know, like you mentioned, Dickerson has actually been pretty good lately, even though the overall season numbers don't necessarily show it. If you do look over the last month, he has been able to have success. So I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to, you know, sit Yastrzemski or Dickerson or Wade against right-handed pitching or Brandon Belt. So there's really no actual way to do it. This is another reason why the DH would, I think, be the right move. I mean, it would benefit the Giants, and we saw that last season. And, you know, I think that the DH is coming next year, probably with this new collective bargaining agreement we're going to have. And Darren Ruff is still under club control for at least one more season, I think even two or potentially three. I haven't looked at his contract in a minute and I'm forgetting, but he's definitely under club control for next season. And having that DH, he could be kind of the perfect guy to play in that spot most of the time. So I think that's going to benefit the Giants next year. But when it comes to the rest of this season, I think his at-bats are going to continue to be limited to mostly left-handed pitching and then coming off the bench pretty much every night as the top bench option. And then if there's an injury pretty much anywhere, first base or in the outfield, he should move into a starting role. And that's always a possibility. Injuries happen all the time. So anyway, coming up next, more questions and answers. But first, did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There really is something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite flavor, it's really hard to choose. I'm going to go today with salted caramel. I love salted caramel, and these Built Bar flavors, these Built Bars in general, taste like candy bars. And so that's why, to me, I was so surprised to learn that they were so low in sugar. And honestly, that's really important to me. I want my protein bars to taste really good, but not actually be like candy bars. And these Built Bars only have 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and they're packing close to 20 grams of protein. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, as promised here in segment number two, as they say, we're just going to continue answering your questions. So the next one comes from Ask Sean, who says, is the home run ball sustainable come October? And this is a big key question for me because it's a common myth. I'm just going to flat out say it. Common myth that home runs don't play in October, and that an offense that is quote unquote reliant on home runs is not going to do well in the postseason. Well, I actually don't have the article pulled up because, you know, I forgot or whatever, but they have researched this and tried to look at what kind of plays in the postseason and what doesn't. And in fact, it's the opposite. Basically, teams that don't hit home runs don't have a lot of success. And more so, home runs are highly correlated with winning in the postseason. Think about some of the recent playoff successes. Think about the Los Angeles Dodgers winning the World Series, the quote-unquote World Series last year. Think about the success that the Houston Astros have had, all those home runs, Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, George Springer were hitting in those postseason series. And I know, you know, the cheating scandal, but still, the home run ball is just a huge part of teams having success in the playoffs. I think there is something to, if you're a team made up of hitters who can be overexposed a little bit, or like, you know, dominant pitching can find your weakness and you're not going to be able to hit those home runs. There's something to that, but I don't really think the Giants are that kind of team. A lot of the players they have who hit home runs are also able to make a lot of contact. I mean, Tommy La Stella, I know he's not played a lot and generally hasn't had his best season at the plate, but he's a guy who has power and also strikes out among, you know, the very lowest rates in the game. Buster Posey, similar story. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of power. You know, he's more of a 20 home run type of hitter, but he's also a guy who doesn't strike out, hits for a high average in addition to hitting for power. Brandon Crawford this season has hit for a high average and is hitting for power. Darren Ruff, wouldn't really classify him as a guy with giant holes in his, you know, at the plate, but he hits for a ton of power. And so I think up and down the lineup, Giants have like different types of hitters, and certain guys have different holes. Certain guys are more easily exposed against certain types of pitchers. But on the whole, home runs are going to help the Giants. They're not going to be their detriment or be their downfall. And preventing home runs goes both ways. If you're a pitcher, if you're a pitching staff and you're able to prevent home runs in the postseason, I think that plays in a big way too. And the Giants have a number of guys who have shown to be above average at preventing home runs, most notably Logan Webb. And so I do think, like, is the home run ball sustainable come October? Absolutely. And even think back to some of the Giants' success in the postseason in 2010, 12, and 14. They hit a lot of home runs. A lot of big home runs were key in their wins and winning the World Series all three of those years. So I'm going to find the article at some point, and I'm sure I will like retweet it at some point prior to the postseason getting underway, because it is a common perception that, you know, oh, you don't want to be a team that relies on the home run come October, but that's a bunch of malarkey. You don't want to be a team that doesn't rely on home runs. You don't want to be a team that doesn't hit them, because if your opponent hits a couple, you're going to have a really hard time winning a game if you're not able to hit a couple yourself. So that's how I see it. Yeah, sometimes if you're going up against Gerrit Cole, who, by the way, his kind of one bugaboo is a tendency to sometimes give up home runs. But, you know, he's going to potentially make it harder to do that. And you might have a runner on third base less than two outs and really desperately want to get that sac fly, and he very easily could strike you out. But that doesn't mean being reliant on home runs is bad. It means pitching is really, really nasty. And, you know, what used to be a relatively easy thing, getting that runner in, just making contact, putting the ball in play, is much harder now than it ever has been. These guys are out here throwing 100 plus routinely, wicked movement, tunneling, you know, all their pitches coming in on the same plane and then having ridiculous break in any number of different directions. So hitting has gotten a lot harder. That's something we need to keep in mind when we're talking about, I think that people don't really think about that enough, and it has a lot to do with sometimes being, you know, not coming through in situations where a sac fly might give you a run in key games in October. So that's kind of my thought on that. Next question comes from Steve, who asks, are we watching Buster Posey's final season as a baseball player? I thought that was a really interesting question. It's one I've kind of quietly contemplated to myself a few times this season, because Buster Posey has made a few comments. I think, Steve, you probably saw these same comments, and this is maybe what made you ask this question. He has basically kind of said, you know, I'm going to get together with my family at the end of the season and talk about what's best for us as a family. So Buster Posey's contract is up at the end of this year, but there is a club option for $22 million for 2022. But of course, he could always just walk away from the game. And I'm going to say this not lightly at all, but I do think, based on the comments, based on kind of watching his body language at times, based on watching him kind of slow down as the season has gone on and the grind has taken its toll on him physically again, that it is a possibility that Buster Posey walks away from the game at the end of the season. And again, I don't say that lightly, but just the comments he's made, the fact that an extension hasn't happened, leads me to believe that that's a possibility. Now, the fact that the Giants haven't given a real look to Joey Bart this season maybe tells me they don't think that. Maybe next year's his last year. I don't know. But just those comments, you know, talking about he's going to get together with his family and think about what's best for them. And he and his family, he's, you know, recently adopted twin girls. So, yeah, I mean, he's achieved everything a person could achieve in the major leagues. And if he feels he's done and he's made his $150 million or whatever, that would be respectable and a totally personal decision. And it wouldn't shock me knowing his personality a little bit. So, really interesting question, and definitely something, of course, we're going to watch as the rest of the season and the offseason plays out. So anyway, coming up next, we have even more questions and answers. But before we get to them, did you know that it's that time of year again and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season? As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Bucks and Dallas Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code LOCKEDON. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is that there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. Learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, as promised, we're going to do our final round of questions and answers here. Giants, of course, getting underway with this big series against the Dodgers starting tonight. Tied for first place. What could be better? Tied with the Dodgers for the best record in the major leagues and for first place. With a big series at home coming up tonight. So, of course, on Monday, we'll be back talking about all things Dodgers-Giants, and I can't wait for that. But before we do that, you know, before we start looking ahead, let's get to the rest of the questions. Tosh asks, rank our relievers from most confident in to least confident in. Well, it'd be a good idea if I had pulled up the Giants relievers, wouldn't it? That would have been too smart of me to have done that. Okay, here we go. I stalled a little bit and I have them. So the number one guy that I'm going to go with here is Tyler Rogers. I just have a sense of calm when Tyler Rogers is on the mound. He has poise. He has an ability to just throw strikes, and he's just been really darn good. And he puts the ball on the ground. The home run ball is pretty darn rare with Tyler Rogers. So I'm going to go with him number one, even though he's not really the closer of this team. But it is interesting. They go back to back. He could not be more different than the second guy on my list, who is Jake McGee. McGee has also had a fantastic season. I feel pretty darn good when he's out there on the mound. But he has at times been susceptible to kind of blowups. And at times he has lost the strike zone. And at times he's given up some big home runs. Not a lot of them, actually. But, you know, it's close for me between Tyler Rogers and Jake McGee. I would have said a couple weeks ago that my number three guy was Dominic Leone, but he has scuffled recently, and so he's not going to be that number three guy. Number three, I'll probably honestly go with, it's kind of a toss-up between Jose Alvarez and Harleen Garcia, which is not to say I think they should be pitching those super high-leverage roles in late innings, but in the roles that they're in. I mean, when Jose Alvarez comes in, it's like, okay, can almost like change the channel. You know, he's just going to be able to pump the strike zone and get out of whatever situation he's coming into. Now, the last couple of starts, or excuse me, appearances haven't really gone that way, but on the whole this season, he's been fantastic. And Harleen Garcia is pretty much the same story, but his stuff is better. His, you know, the quality of his pitches is more pronounced or more effect. I don't know what exactly I'm trying to say. The stuff is better. And so I'll probably go with Harleen Garcia with an edge above Jose Alvarez. And then, I don't know, Zach Littell might even be ahead of Dominic Leone for me right now. And then as I look through, I have a lot of confidence in all of them. And it's hard to really differentiate between like Littell and Jay Jackson, Tony Watson, and Dominic Leone. You know, it's hard for me to sit here and say Dominic Leone is that low, but he's just consistently been struggling to throw strikes recently. So he'd probably have an edge over most of those other guys that I just named. But after that, it's pretty much a toss-up. And then, yes, John Brebbia for me is near the bottom of the list. He just simply hasn't been good this season with the Giants. But yes, I know some people ask this. I do still have confidence long-term in John Brebbia. He has a long track record of being good. I'm not going to just give up on him based on a short sample of this season when he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. And then Sammy Long and Caleb Berger are probably lowest on my list right now. Jose Quintana is like in that mix, and I don't really know what to think of him. But until I see more, I'm not really going to count him as a member of this bullpen. He is a guy for me who could be a candidate to start with the Giants needing bullpen games 2 out of every 5 turns through the rotation. So I hope that kind of answered the question. I know I didn't perfectly rank them, but those are my thoughts on the current Giants relievers. Feels Great Baby asks, not a Giants question, but a AAA question. Why has Crazan not gotten a shot in MLB? Dude rakes and deserves a chance. So this is a question about Jason Crazan. Giants picked him up in the offseason, and he's been in AAA all season with the Giants and is hitting .331 with a .381 on base and .521 slugging. That's a 20% above average line in AAA. So kind of tells you a little bit about the hitting environment in AAA, because you would think that that's more than 20% above average, but that hitting environment in AAA is pretty lively, and so that's actually not that crazy good of an offensive line. It's just a 190 isolated power, which is actually kind of low considering the other numbers. And I honestly can't totally tell you. I do believe he could like fill in that Dickerson role where he's platooning in a corner on the outfield, in the outfield. He is left-handed. So yeah, I mean, he takes that role for me, kind of the Dickerson or Lamont Wade Jr. or Mike Yastrzemski role. Yastrzemski's struggles are kind of a big deal that we've had to push under the rug a little bit because the team has been so successful, but it definitely has been a struggle for Yastrzemski. So I think part of it is that they don't feel comfortable like giving up on Wade, Dickerson, or Yastrzemski, but I'm kind of with you. I'm surprised, given these numbers, that he hasn't had an opportunity, particularly because he's doing it as a guy who also doesn't strike out a lot. And so I have more confidence that some of that contact skills and on-base skills would translate at the major league level. And sure enough, Steamer projects from Crizan at the major league level that he would be about league average offensively. So it could just be, you know, Yastrzemski, Wade, and Dickerson that they think are better than league average offensively. And so he's just kind of next on the depth chart, and they haven't necessarily needed him at any point. But pretty sure that he can just remain in the Giants organization beyond this season. But he is a guy we could see at some point in September. Of course, he's not on the 40-man roster, so that's definitely a reason he hasn't just been given a shot yet, because he's not on that 40-man roster. He would have to be added, and someone else would have to be taken off in order to get him on. So anyway, we had a lot more questions. I always can't get to them all. There's so many great questions. But that is all the time we have for today. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's KASPICK. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much. So thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. Just quickly want to point out, I know we've had some connection issues on some of the podcasts. It is something we are aware of and are working on, and it has to do with recording this through a different avenue because of YouTube. So we're doing our best to remedy that issue. Really apologize if there have been any connection issues today or in any of the episodes you've listened to in the last few days. Anyway, I can't wait to be with you again on Monday. Huge series this weekend, so we're going to break it all down on Monday. Giants versus Dodgers, first place on the line, so I can't wait to be with you then. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.